Good morning, everyone. And thank you so much for inviting me into your beautiful community here at First Baptist Lexington. I have to start out and just say a special word of thanks and a blessing to the children of this community. How cute are they? Oh, I was just about to melt on the front row watching them. It's such a reflection of life and vibrancy for a community of faith, and I wish many blessings on them. And I also want to thank Reverend Howell for teaching me something about preaching this morning that I never knew. I will never again end a sermon without giving out M&Ms. That is such a great idea. Thank you for that. Certainly, I also want to thank the Parker family for sponsoring this lecture series so that I might be able to come and visit with you all. It's an honor to be here and a special treat for me. As you probably heard, I am a North Carolina native and live in New York City. And I'm so happy to be here. We miss so much southern things, especially the food. Goodness gracious, good food. We've been eating our way through the state since we've been here. You know, people hear that I am a pastor in New York City, and they say, oh my gosh, I love New York. It's so fabulous. The shopping and the theater and the food. Oh, how fantastic. I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. I'm going to tell y'all because we're family here. When I first moved up there about 20 years ago, I spent 3 months, count them, 3 months, scouring that town, and I could not find one place, not one, that served pimento cheese. Who wants to live in a town that doesn't serve pimento cheese? Goodness gracious, which leads me to give a special shout out to my friend Reverend Tommy Wilson, who put together last night after our dinner a beautiful to-go bag for my husband and I to have a nice dinner from the dinner that was given. But when we got back to the hotel and opened up the bag, there in there was an entire container of pimento cheese. I don't know how to thank you. It's gone. Every bit of it. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about letting go. And I want to come at it in a little different way, just a kind of a new way. It's like a billboard that my husband and I saw driving through Minnesota last year. We were driving along the interstate, and there's this big old billboard, and at the top, it said Minnesota Cremation Society, which is kind of funny. I mean, why in the world would they be advertising, right? Underneath that is a picture of a casket, and underneath that, it says, think outside the box. I love that. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to think outside the box a little bit. And I want to start out by just telling you a little story that dovetails into the Apostle Paul's words. Some of you who were here last night and then enjoyed Bible study together this morning know that I am a Southern Scotch-Irish Baptist married to a Midwestern Scandinavian Lutheran, which means our marriage is basically a miracle in heaven. But we've worked through it. We're there. But Toby's family has a cabin up in northern Wisconsin, way northern, up towards like Duluth, up that way. And it's a tiny little town. If any of you have ever listened to Garrison Keillor on NPR, this is like Lake Wobegon come to life. It's a little tiny town of like 2,000 people and 17 Lutheran churches in that little town. You know, good kind of one-to-one ratio. Anyway, we go up there every summer. And we have a little ritual. Every summer we go up there. We get there, it's usually late in the afternoon or in the evening, so we just probably crash and get a little sleep. But the next morning, we get up very early. We go out in the dock, which is house is right on a lake, and we fish. And we catch a little bluegill and brim, whatever might bite that morning. And then we bring it back, and we clean them, and we fry them up with everything from, like, blueberry muffins and scrambled eggs with cheese. And of course, got to have cheese because it's in Wisconsin, and I probably shouldn't talk a lot about food because I know we still are looking at brunch right now. So, but that's what we eat, blueberry muffins and these fish, and we have these great scrambled eggs. And a few years ago, we did exactly that. We started our little routine. We fixed the breakfast. And then we had a rather unpleasant experience. We finished breakfast. We cleaned up. We put everything in the trash. And then we left to run some errands. Well, that day in Wisconsin was going to be rather warm, like pushing 90. And we went and ran our errands, and one thing I didn't share with you is that the cabin's not air-conditioned. So we come back from the errand, got out of the truck, got about, I don't know, 100 yards from the front door of the cabin, and almost fell down from the aroma that was coming out of the house. If you can imagine fish guts and eggshells and all that stuff sitting in there in that kitchen baking all day. So I took a paper towel and I made a gas mask kind of out of the paper towel and ran in, got the stuff out of the trash and threw it on the mulch pile which we keep in the back of the yard. Now, are any of y'all gardeners here? Anybody have a mulch pile in their yard? A couple of people. Well, if you don't have one, you probably know what it is. It's a wonderful place where you can throw things like nasty fish guts and eggshells and place where they transform into rich, dark dirt. Dark dirt that gives life to things like daylilies and lavender and tomato plants. Good stuff. So after we got over the trauma of the trash, I had to think to myself, you know, it's interesting how this experience dovetails with the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians. And maybe Paul was a gardener. Who knows? But you think about his words. He says, get rid of all such things. Wrath, anger, slander, malice, the trash. And clothe yourself in the new self. What's so interesting is he's writing these words from prison, a place where you would think he would be wrapped up in exactly what he talked about, anger and resentment. But no, he's writing about giving those things up. And here we sit, 2,000 years later, and those same words speak to us just as powerfully as when they were written down back in Paul's time. And it asks us each two questions. What trash do we have in our lives that we want to throw on the mulch pile? And what beautiful new thing do we want to grow in its place? So let's just take a minute, work through an example. I think that helps us see it a little clearer. Think for a moment about what you're struggling with in your life. Something that you're struggling with. Now, based on my fiery Scotch-Irish genes, I'm going to say anger for me. Don't you love people that blame their baggage on their relatives? Isn't that great? So let's say you're dealing with anger. What do you do with it? Well, you got to take it out because it's trash. And it's the same two steps that we used in Wisconsin. The first step is to take out the trash. But first of all, you got to find it. You got to find the trash before you take it out. Now, that may not sound that important, but I'll tell you something. In our situation in Wisconsin, but also in our lives, you got to know it's there before you can take it out. We forgot about it and left it. But in our lives, sometimes we forget about the trash that's there. It's hidden, buried under years of denial in places we don't want to look at or think about. And you can't take it out if you don't know it's there. I had a back issue a couple of years ago, a disc that went out. I don't know if any of y'all have ever dealt with back problems. If you have, you know it's some painful stuff. And you can't do anything but just lay on the floor. So I was on the floor for a day or two. And by the time day three rolled around, I was better but not quite ready to get up. But at that point, you've gone through all the newspapers and magazines and all the Dr. Phil reruns. There's nothing left to do except lay on your floor and look under your furniture. Now, I like to think of myself as a relatively good housekeeper, but honey, the view under my couch was the scariest thing. I mean, there were leaky pins and there were dust balls the size of a small ferret. And then there was this kind of random square object that was orange that I later realized was a wayward cheese appetizer from a party we'd given like a year ago, sitting right there under the couch. And I thought to myself, well, I don't know it's there because I've never looked under the couch. And it's kind of like life. We don't know sometimes that the trash is there until we look under the couches of our hearts. We look through the closets. We look in the places of our spirits and our hearts where we don't always want to look. We don't always want to see the things that are there. But you can't take out the trash if you don't know it's there. So step one, you got to find it and take it out. And step two, you've got to let it go. Now, letting go doesn't sound like that hard of a thing on its face, but we all know it is when it really comes down to it. Because we like to carry around useless things that we don't need sometimes, especially emotional baggage. I think about my dad, Herb. Many of you have heard about him from last night and today. And Dad had this big old Buick LeSabre that was like the size of a gigantic, I don't know, it was like an tractor trailer back in the 70s, and he had a big old trunk that he would carry all this stuff that I'm not sure he needed, but he wanted to have it just in case. You know, like two or three extra raincoats and some extra rain boots and maybe an extra totes rain hat and a few umbrellas and some water and maybe even an aluminum foil space blanket, you know, to wrap around yourself for warmth in case he got caught in a blizzard in the 0.1 mile drive from our house to his office in Charlotte, North Carolina. Sometimes it's hard to give up things that we don't need, but it's scary. But you know what? Sometimes we have to let them go, even though we're used to them, because they're useless. There's a great story about a guy taking a hike along a cliff, and he's walking along, and all of a sudden he slips, and he falls over the cliff, and he's hanging onto a little tiny branch just off the side of the cliff, and he yells, "Help! Somebody! Help me, please!" Nothing. Silence. He yells again as the branch is straining, and he's about to fall. "Help someone!" And finally a voice comes from heaven. "I hear you, my son. Now let go." He paused for a minute and he said, "Is anybody else up there?" Please. It's hard to let go sometimes of things. But you know, if we carry things too long, then the problem is they begin to define us. It's like Emerson said, what we worship, we become. What we worship, we become. Or put another way, by the great theologian Jesse Ventura, ex-governor of Minnesota. We heard Jesse on NPR one time, and he was doing a little press conference, and he put it in terms of politicians. He said, you know, we would all be better off if we made all politicians wear a NASCAR suit. Now, we've all seen NASCAR suits, right? You know, the jumpsuits that have all the sponsors all over them. And he said, you know, we'd all be better off if we had all the politicians wear a NASCAR suit, because then we would know who owned them. And I thought to myself, well, isn't that true in life too? Because we all build a NASCAR suit. We all walk around with sponsorships, whatever it is, things that drive us, drive our behavior, dictate what we do. And if we don't let go of some of the bad stuff, it can drive us into some very difficult places. I mean, really, letting go, I guess, really comes down to the Serenity Prayer. We all know the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. Y'all know that? You know, the prayer, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." Such a beautiful prayer. Well, I have another one I want to share with you, and it's called the Senility Prayer. And it goes like this: "God grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked anyway, the good fortune to run into the ones that I do, and the eyesight to tell the difference." Sometimes we just got to let go. Because in order to transform into our fullest potential as human beings, as Christians, it is our duty to find the trash, bag it up, and take it out. Throw it on the mulch pile so we can free ourselves of these burdens. And I'm not talking about giving up. Giving up is a different thing. We talked about that in Bible study this morning. Giving up is a passive act. When I'm saying letting go, that's an act of power. Because when we let go, when we voluntarily give these things up, greater forces take over. When we give our burdens to Christ, then the power starts to kick in. Like in that mulch pile, when greater forces take over those eggshells and the fish guts and transform them into dark dirt and beautiful daylilies. When we hand over our burdens, our anger, our fear, or our pain, it fades and it begins to change. As the Apostle Paul said, you begin to grow something beautiful and new in its place. We begin to clothe ourselves in something new. On the mulch pile, anger can become empathy. Fear can become insight. Pain can become strength. Perhaps if we were willing to give up some of the burdens we carry around, we might be a little more forgiving of others. My favorite author, Anne Lamott, tells a story about her teenage son coming to her, telling her he wanted to get married. And he was 16 at the time, and she was just took a deep breath and went, "Oh, oh, my Lord, and then launches into this huge speech about why that was the worst thing in the world. And as she talked and talked to him, she just saw him emotionally shut down. And she said, it was in that moment that it dawned on me that we need to listen, because that's the key to forgiveness. And she said, now from then on, I ask myself a question every time I'm in a conversation with somebody. I say to myself, wait. Not necessarily wait as in stop, but wait, an acronym, WAIT. Why am I talking? She stops and asks herself, why am I talking? Because it's the act of listening that helps us have forgiveness. And we can't listen if we're carrying all this baggage around that we don't need. But speaking to teenagers, completely unrelated, but it reminds me of a line that one of my comedy partners gives. Some of you heard this morning, I'm on tour with a stand-up rabbi and a Muslim comic. You got to love that. And Rabbi Bob has a line. He has two teenagers he's raising, and he says, you know, I'd like to put it in theological terms. He said, the Talmud actually talks about the significance of why Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac at 12 and not 13, because at 13, not sure it would have been a sacrifice. No offense to the teenagers here in the audience. You are loved and honored. But I love Bob's perspective. I thought it was pretty funny. So if we give up our burdens, we might become a little more forgiving of others. We might listen a little more. And you know what? We might become more forgiving of ourselves. Some of you may have visited the Billy Graham Library and Museum in Charlotte. Have any of y'all been there, seen this? It's a beautiful place. What's interesting, when I visited there, I didn't realize his wife, Ruth, is buried in the back. There's a memorial garden for her. And there's an amazing story that goes with that, her tombstone or her plaque. Maybe you read about it. Apparently, Ruth and Billy were out, or Dr. Graham, were out having a going to a service, and they were returning, and they came through some road work. And Ruth looked up at the sign where it gave them the warning about the road work, and she said, I want that on my tombstone. So sure enough, she passed away a little bit back, and if you go in the memorial garden, there's a tombstone, and it says Ruth Graham, has her birth date and death date, and then underneath it says, construction finished. Thank you for your patience. Don't you love that? I was like, I'm going to steal that. That's going on mine. And I thought, what a great statement about who we are as human beings. We're just under construction. We're just doing the best we can, and we just need to give ourselves a little break. And if we open our hearts and our spirits up, the transforming power of God can forgive anything, can heal anything, can heal any pain, any stain that we bring. So in order to grow into our fullest potential, we have to give up the trash. We have to throw it on the mulch pile so we can free ourselves of this burden. And here's kind of the bottom line, if y'all need a one-line summary to take away. We have to take our trash and throw it on the mulch pile, and it doesn't matter who brought the trash in. Think about that. We love to say, oh, well, you know, I've been harmed. I've been this and that. This person did this to me. My family did that, whatever. No, it's your job to take out the trash even though someone else brought it in. Can I have an amen on that? I don't know if y'all amen. Is this kind of a quiet? No. It's a rough crowd. Okay, right. Our folk are kind of medium. We have folks that say, you know, little amen. Every once in a while, I'll get a preach it sister if it's something seriously, you know, fiery. We had a guy named Gary in our congregation for a while. He's not with us anymore. But Gary used to love to jump up and just dance in the aisles with hands in the air. And if I said something that got him riled up, he would say, that's what I'm talking about. And sit down. So it's our job to take out our trash no matter who brought it in. That's what I'm talking about. I'll leave you with the line of one of my favorite poets, Mary Oliver. She wrote, tell me, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Well, if you care about this holy gift of life, this one wild and precious life, then you have to ask yourself, what trash do I need to throw on the mulch pile? And what beautiful new thing do I want to grow in its place? Let's not let life get weighed down by the trash in our life, trash that stinks up our house. Let's not hold on to the fear and the pain and the anger. We got to let it go. Let it go, put it down, fling it on the mulch pile. Or as the Apostle Paul said, get rid of all such things and clothe yourself instead in something beautiful and wonderful and new. And the people said,